I am living a normal life. Meanwhile, this, right alongside me, this myth is growing and mushrooming and getting more and more warped. And when I get invited to speak at, say, universities, I'm not sure if you're inviting Duke or Thompson.
Very few people have left as large a mark on journalism of the last half century as Hunter S. Thompson. Subjective, provocative, funny, altogether rogue. Thompson's writing about America around 1970 is one of the best records we've got of that time. But Hunter Thompson wouldn't be Hunter Thompson without the artist Ralph Steadman, who illustrated his most famous articles. Steadman's style is instantly recognizable. His pictures are splattered with ink. His people are twisted and contorted. His line is violent. Nobody has depicted ugliness as beautifully as Ralph Steadman. And he's the subject of a new documentary called For No Good Reason. And he is also here with me now, Ralph Steadman. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here, Kurt.
So you're this unknown artist from England, and in 1970 you come to America without much of a plan, and you're immediately sent out on assignment with this guy who winds up changing your life, Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson. He was described to me as, how'd you like to go to Kentucky and meet an ex-Hells Angel who just shaved his head?
And did you immediately hit it off with Hunter Thompson, or was...
Well, we were 3 days looking for each other, and they told Hunter... They said, yeah, he's a bit weird. He's a real weird one. You won't miss him when you see him, you know. So we were looking for each other for 3 days. We eventually did find each other. Excuse me. I heard a voice behind me. So I turned around. And suddenly there's 6 foot tall guy, bullet head, you know, shaved. And he said, hello, are you Ralph Steadman? I said, yes, I am. I'm Hunter Thompson, you know. So, he suddenly said, well, they said you were weird, but not that weird.
Hunter Thompson's style of journalism was to make himself the center of what he was writing about.
The phrase is that you do not cover a story ostensibly, but in fact, you don't cover a story. You become the story.
Yes.
That's the thing.
And he certainly did that. Did you feel as though you were obliged to do something analogous to that as you were accompanying
him? I was curious enough to think, well, maybe I'll be part of this thing. You know, if you're going to do this, we may as well do it together. You see, that the Wittgenstein phrase is the only thing of value is the thing you cannot say. But if I can see it, that's far more sort of graphic, isn't it?
Right.
More interesting.
So that's what you were out to do.
I guess that's what I was out to do, yeah.
You obviously, as this documentary makes clear, had a very close relationship with Hunter, but it was also obviously fraught and sometimes even abusive. Why did you put up with it?
It was funny, abusive, really.
Yeah.
You know, I just said I likened myself to his pet minor bird.
Right.
Edward. Edward, there is no bird god I know that's going to save you now, Edward. I'm going to kill you, Edward.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he would grab the bird, pull it out of the cage, which would be squawking and pecking and like crazy at him. So it was a kind of a... There's a sort of a fond torture going on with Hunter
sort
and
of a
his
Mutt,
victims.
Mutt and Jeff.
And Jeff type of thing.
Yeah. When people met you and when people meet you once you guys were sort of well known, did they expect you to be gnarly and dark and vicious and theatrical like Hunter?
A lot of people said, you must be quite an unpleasant person, you see. And they expected me to be unpleasant when they met him. Yeah. I said, oh, no, all that goes down on paper. You know, get it out of your system. Don't harbor aggressive thoughts. Get them out.
At one point in the documentary, you say to Hunter Thompson that it was your illustrations that made Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas noticed and iconic. And he's not entirely buying that. Do you think that?
Of course.
Do you still think that?
Well, it's like this thing about seeing, you know, and saying. It's more memorable when you've got something to sort of refer to. It's like a symbol, iconic symbol, became.
Yeah.
And so people think of that, and then they can read the book again and enjoy the book because the words are wonderful.
Right.
And so...
It's a compressed way of keeping it in their heads.
It wasn't a denigration in any way of Hunter and his words. It was just saying that I think it's the trademark, if you like. Put it like that.
100%. When he killed himself 9 years ago at age 67, did it strike you as inevitable?
Yeah, well, he told me early on, said, Ralph, I feel real trapped in this life. I didn't know I could commit suicide at any moment. And he had 23 fully loaded guns at Owl Farm.
In Aspen.
Aspen, yeah, Owl Farm Aspen, yes. And I knew that one day he would do it. And as that, you know, that phrase, I always knew that one day I would make this journey, but I did not know yesterday that it would be today, you know. And it came rather unexpectedly on February 20th, 2005. It was sort of, well, it was a shock still.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God damn stupid thing. And, you know, in the kitchen at Owl Farm, the bullet hole is still through the cooker hood, and he was on the phone to his wife, who was at the health club, can you imagine? And then it was Bob Browdis, the sheriff of Aspen at the time, Pitkin County sheriff, who called all the 24 other Pitkin County sheriffs, and they all arrived at Owl Farm and all took a book down, stood around Hunter's body and read a page in respect or out of respect.
From his work?
From his work.
Wow, which is I never fantastic. Heard that.
No, that's interesting. So that was a lovely... It's funny what people do when there's that sense of occasion.
Yeah. Before you ever met Hunter Thompson, when you were a kid in the 50s, 40s, how did you learn to draw?
Well, I wasn't drawing then. Not really. No, I didn't start that. I wanted to be... I was building model airplanes, you know. And then I got an apprenticeship at de Havilland Aircraft Company. And I was doing technical drawings and things like that. And I was doing little scribbles in the border. But I hadn't really made any positive idea, a decision to become an artist. But I saw this advert which said in some newspaper somewhere, you too can learn to draw and earn pounds. Take the Percy V. Bradshaw Press Art School course for 12 lessons in how to draw. See? So you can learn to draw in 12 lessons. So I took the course while I was doing military service. But I didn't really get into drawing properly until I came down to London immediately after military service. But I was offered a job in an editorial office as the cartoonist who would do cartoons daily.
And these were political cartoons?
No, these were, general social type of thing. The first cartoon I had published was in the Manchester Evening Chronicle, and there was the Suez Canal crisis at the time.
56.
NASA, that's it. That was the one. And my first cartoon, it was of a lock keeper sitting there reading the paper, and it's talking about the Suez Canal, and he's saying, NASA, who's he, you see?
Mm-hmm. When and why did splattering ink become an important part of
the clumsiness.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, oh, God.
And it wasn't some Jackson Pollock thing you were trying to...
Oh, no, I wasn't doing that. No, not really, no. That was something... Well, that was so positively... That was dripping. I wasn't splatting.
Yeah, right.
You know, there was dribbling and stuff around. Yeah. You know, there was a messy bucket.
So really, you made a mistake and decided, let that go.
Like that and go, you know. There's a flick of... There's a certain flick.
Yeah.
And that's the flick. But you see, you can't see that on radio.
Yes.
You may be able to.
Mr. Stedman is now flicking his hand. I understand you have some materials here today, and I would love it if you could draw and we can watch and I'll
draw. Well, I'm making an attempt to draw Kurt here. Oh, you've got some hair, though. You have got good hair.
That's what they say.
Listen, this is really something.
I look like a pig now.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate, but... Oh, God. No, look, you made me do.
Oh, I made you spill more ink.
Oh, God. Oh, well.
Ralph Stedman.
Oh, that's a pleasure.
It was a total pleasure, and I have never been so happy at an act of vandalism in my life. Yes.
Oh, it's Happy Vandalism Day today, isn't it?
For No Good Reason is the new documentary about Ralph Stedman. It comes out on DVD in September. You can see his drawings of me and a video of him in action flicking ink all over the studio at studio360.org.